Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jayam. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahang Sabriraja Kachaja Asto Terasata Sisiman His Divine Gaze Sabha Charana Ravinda Bhakti Vedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki. All glories to the assembled devotee. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So, today Mother Mukhya gave the introduction to my class because, once Srila Prabhupada was sitting in front of an audience of many people, and he asked them, what is the goal of human life? So many people answered many, many different things. And ultimately, Prabhupada extracted the answer, or maybe gave the answer, that to be happy. The goal of life is to be happy. And that's a lot easier to digest than to become, you know, a pure devotee or to become a servant of Krishna. We really relate to the idea that the goal of human life is to become happy. Everyone wants to be happy. And in order to be happy, also concomitant with happiness is peace. Everyone wants peace and happiness, right? And this is the season for peace and happiness as we get into the Christmas mood. And peace is all over the place, peace. And we look forward to the idea, to the concept of finding that situation, that place where we can be peaceful and we can be happy. And there's two ways of considering that quest. One is a material way to consider that quest, and the other is a spiritual way to consider that quest. The material way to consider that quest is an exercise in futility, because really it's not possible to be happy in the material world. The material world is certified, and Bhagavad Gita is Dukkhali Yama Shashvatam, temporary and full of misery. So you think, well, that's pretty negative, pretty morbid, pretty not very enthusing. But if we look at it about how we're going to become happy, materially speaking, it revolves around satisfying the senses and satisfying the mind. And when we consider the objects available to us for doing that, for achieving success in that realm, we find that they all fall short of the ultimate satisfaction and happiness that we're looking for. Hence, we have capitalism, right? The idea that you can continuously be looking for something and you never really have it, but you always want it. And there'll be something coming down the pike, something new, something exciting, something bigger, something fresh that you can get, and it will make you happy for a few minutes, for a few days, for a few hours. And the politicians, they promise us some kind of happiness. At least everyone in this country will be happy. So then what about every other country? What happens to them? Well, that's not our problem, really. But we'll guarantee you that we'll try to make you happy here. But even that's not really possible. And we see again and again there's no success. And then we try to find happiness in people, in relationships. We go to Facebook for happiness. We get laughs on Facebook, videos on Facebook, pictures on Facebook. We try to find people in real life every once in a while. And we try to find happiness in them and peace in them. And maybe we find some, but it's temporary, and it goes away. And the persons that are involved in this quest for happiness, their quest is kind of selfish, because they're looking to another person in relationship for making themselves happy, ultimately. They're looking to make themselves happy. There may be some effort to make somebody else happy also, extended family or somebody else in our purview of existence. But that interaction is ultimately designed to give us happiness. It's ultimately because we want happiness and we want peace. We want peace because peace comes from the craving of the senses and the mind to find happiness. And so when we're not peaceful, we're not happy, we're not happy, we're not peaceful. If they work together, they're kind of attached to each other. And the quest for that kind of happiness is very, very difficult. And it's wrought with frustration and disappointment. And then the spiritual quest for happiness, there's, and peace, there's a leap of faith or a leap of, we have to step out of our current experiences. We tend to create our behaviors based on our experiences, but our experience is all material. So we don't really have in our remembrance a solution to this quest of happiness in our material sphere. We keep looking, we keep hunting, we keep trying to find, but we don't really have an experience where we've been completely happy, or we've been completely peaceful, we've been completely satisfied, and over a long period of time, we've never experienced feeling that we don't need anything else, we don't want anything else, we're just perfect, everything's perfect, and it stays perfect indefinitely. And we don't feel upset or worried that it will stop being perfect at some point in time and it might stop being perfect tomorrow or in a few minutes or someone else will get in the way and make it imperfect. But rather, that's our experience in the material world. We have that experience again and again. But in the spiritual world, we have to take a bit of a leap of faith because we have to kind of circumvent that experience that we've had over and over again and then repose that relationship, that happiness, that desire to be happy in service to Krishna. And the reason I said that Mother Mukhi gave the introduction to my class because she gave such a list of services that we could do. And I'm sure she could come up with a lot longer list. We could give her a few rolls of paper towels, and she could just sit there with this long, you know, how they used to do when the king would come and his members, they would roll out the scroll and read such a thing. So it's like that. Today I got a letter from somebody, a student of mine, and you know how sometimes devotees, they tend to abbreviate things? Did you ever notice that? They don't say anything. They always abbreviate. What is it? Agasip. All glories to Prabhupada. Pam Ho Agasip, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada. Because it takes too long to say, all glories to Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. What to speak of, write it. So Pam Ho Agasip. And another thing that we abbreviate is YS, right? We sign our letters, YS something or other. Your servant. So somebody today signed a letter for me, YSOSOSOSOSOSOS. And I didn't really understand what it meant because SOS, you know, is a cry for help. And in Morse code, SOS is a cry for help. That's what sunk the Titanic, you know. They tried SOS and no one picked it up, and so the Titanic sunk. So this devotee was signing her letter to me, SOSOSOSOSOS. And I realized after trying to figure it out for a few seconds, that she was saying, servant of the 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 servant. And actually, that's the solution. That's the solution to this quest for peace and this quest for happiness, is becoming the servant of the servant and ultimately the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. Rendering service in a mood of selflessness, which is not so easy to do, because we have this this tendency to want to be happy and peaceful in a material sense, and we're conditioned that way. We're conditioned for many, 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 many lifetimes. We're conditioned to think that our happiness is going to come from our senses, and our happiness is going to come from other people, and our happiness is going to come from things. And we repeatedly put our faith in those things and those people and those situations and the senses and the dictates of the senses and the mind, and we follow their lead again and again. And even though we are constantly disappointed, we continue to do it over and over again. It's pretty amazing that we continue to do it over and over again. And yet somebody, Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita over and over again, in Srimad Bhagavatam over and over again, Prabhupada over and over again, tells us, don't look for happiness here, because it's a dead-end street. You know, they did an experiment. We used to go to this place called the Ontario Science Center with our students. We went many times. And it's a very hands-on place. They have all kinds of things that you can do, and you can kind of see science in action, or see some aspects of science in action. And they have this kind of a maze, but it doesn't really block you from going anywhere. It's just like an aisle that goes no, and it says, do not enter. And 90% of the people don't enter it. There's no reason not to enter it. It's kind of just, you know, a few feet of passageway. But because it says, do not enter, we don't enter it. We're just conditioned, right? We see a sign, do not enter, and we think, well, I better not enter there. Something is wrong with this situation. I better not enter it. I do an activity sometimes with my students in various seminars where I ask people to make a circle. Now, I won't be able to do it with any of you, but okay. So we ask people to make a circle, and then we tell one person to come out of the circle. And then we say, okay, your job is to get into this circle. And then immediately, everyone in the circle immediately thinks that their job is to keep that person out of the circle. And so immediately there's this, everybody puts their hands down and tries to keep this person out. And there was no instruction, keep this person out of the circle. It was only an instruction to the person, your job is to get into the circle. And immediately we're conditioned. We're conditioned to protect our territory. Why is that? Why are we conditioned to protect our territory? Because material happiness and peace is a finite commodity. And therefore, because it's finite, if I have some and I share it, then I have less. If you have more than me, then I become covetous of what you have. We have experience, you know, expressions about it. The grass is always greener on the other side, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're conditioned in certain ways to avoid danger because it'll cause us pain. So we see a sign and it says stay out. We think, well, that might curtail my happiness. I might get hurt. I better not go there. Someone says stay out of the circle. We think, yes, you should stay out. Get out of the way. So we try to protect what little happiness we have and what little peace we have by creating barriers between us and other people. And we're very comfortable with impersonalism because of that. We're very comfortable with thinking that God really can't be involved with us too much because, you know, after all, God is big words like omnipresent and omnipotent. He knows everything. He's in your heart. And that's a scary concept, that somebody who's bigger than you, who can do whatever he wants, knows everything about you, knows your thoughts, knows your mind, knows what's in your heart. And we're very private. We like to play this game of being happy and peaceful by ourselves because it's really quite stupid when you think about it, that we keep going at it even though we get kicked again and again. We keep doing it. And so we'd prefer to do it in private. We would prefer to do it according to the dictates that will allow us to be socially acceptable and fit in with everybody and comfortable in the material world. It takes bravery, courage, to go against that current, to take that leap and say, forget this. This is a charade, and I'm not going to play this game. That's why traditionally people who are transcendentalists, who are yogis in devotion, they move outside that sphere of trying to enjoy the material world, and they go away from materialistic people, materialistic things. They go in the Himalayas, and they undergo worship and austerity and various practices of life so that they can control their mind and senses and not allow themselves to be illusioned by this constant quest for material happiness and peace. They separate themselves from that. And it's always considered a very, very profound, very extreme step. We see with Grandfather Bhishma, even when Bhishma was a young boy and he took this vow, I'll never marry and I'll never have children, the demigod showered flowers and said, oh, this is a terrible vow. How can you give up sense gratification like that? But he was able to do that austerity. And for traditionally religionists, people who want to get to know God, they separate themselves from the material world because the illusion is such a pull. And in this age, it's even more of a pull because it's in your face, all over the place. It's shining everywhere you go. Grab this, eat this, drink this, do this, and you'll be happy. Grab happiness. Right? Coca-Cola. Grab happiness, isn't it? So happiness, we understand, a person with intelligence comes to understand by hearing and reading and associating with persons who are spiritually inclined, comes to understand that that's not the truth, that happiness isn't going to come from that place. So taking that leap of faith, taking that step and looking for our happiness in the spiritual world means we have to accept Krishna's words then when he tells us that he's eternal and he can have a relationship with us which is eternal. He can offer us a type of happiness which will not deteriorate, which will not let us down, which will not leave us suffering or unhappy or disappointed. And that ability of the Supreme Personality of Godhead provides us with the peace and the happiness that we're really looking for. But we have to take that leap. We have to stop looking for happiness in the material world. And we'll find it, just like Mother Mukhi said today in the announcement, that we give some tithe or some donation. And we have faith that Krishna will take care of us. And we have stories, many stories, in our history of Krishna consciousness where Krishna took care of us when we really least expected it. There's one story that Mother Malati tells, or Malati Devi tells, that in San Francisco, when they were trying to figure out how they were going to pay the rent and how they were down to their last dollar, they didn't know how they were going to do anything, and they didn't have any money, and they were so in anxiety, how they were going to feed everybody, how they were going to pay the rent. And all of a sudden, outside in the street, these dollar bills, $100 bills, started flying out the window in the floor above, and they started collecting money. And later they found out that it was a drug bust in the floor upstairs, right? The fuzz had come, and they were, you know, busting these guys, so they were throwing the money out the window so they wouldn't get caught. But it did get caught. It got caught by the devotees underneath. So Krishna made the arrangement. Oh, you need money? Okay, I'll arrange it. Here it comes, right? Here it comes, out the window. So what kind of faith do you have to have? What kind of faith do you have to get on Jaladuta when you're, you know, 65 years old and take a boat to a, 69 years old and come to a foreign country and with nothing, with just a few books, not knowing anything about the country. What kind of faith do you have to have that Krishna will take care? So when we find ourselves feeling, as we often do, feeling this feeling of lack of peace or lack of happiness, this quest, this endless quest for filling the hole in our heart, described in the Nectar of Devotion, we have a hole in our heart, right? And we try to fill it up with things. We put things in that hole, and it seems like a bottomless pit. I'm not that big, but how come I keep throwing things in and it's not going away? Because that hole in the heart is only satisfied by our loving relationship with Krishna. Krishna says in the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, a person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material misery. So that's how we can attain peace, by accepting that Krishna will take care, and that Krishna is taking care every moment. He's our well-wishing friend. He's our well-wishing friend. That even though sometimes it seems to us that he's not doing it exactly the way we wanted it to be done, that he doesn't have the plan that we had, right? We had a plan. We thought it was going to work out like this in such and such time. I was going to do this, and then I was going to pay all the bills, and everything was going to be taken care of, and I was going to be free and, you know, making money without doing anything because of my investments, and it was all going to work out, but somehow or other, it didn't happen that way. It didn't happen that way. And so we have to have faith that Krishna is working anyway. He's doing what he needs to do to assist us in getting back to him. Assist us in getting out of that illusion that the material world and material things will give us the peace and happiness which we're all craving. We're unable as individual souls, small, tiny, little living entities, we're unable to create a situation where everyone or everything can be happy and peaceful. And as long as anyone's not happy and anyone's not peaceful, it's going to come back on us somehow or other. It's going to reflect on us. We're going to feel some kind of guilt or some kind of sadness in watching someone else suffer. Or we're going, worst case scenario, we feel envious when somebody else is having pleasure and we're suffering or not as much pleasure having. So relatively speaking, we think our life is austere, but our life isn't austere at all, right? Compared to so many other places in the world, our life is top of the penthouse. We're doing great. But still we're not satisfied. Still we're hankering. Still we're looking for some thing that will make us happier, that will make us more peaceful, that will take away the ache that we feel in our heart. And until we pass that, until we give that up, until we discipline our mind and our senses by using our transcendental knowledge, our spiritual intelligence, until we discipline our mind and senses, we're destined to be unhappy. And we're destined to suffer. So the very thing that we want more than anything, peace and happiness, we're standing in our own way because we're not giving this up. There's an example given that someone's holding a tree and screaming, let go, let go, let go. But the tree isn't holding you, you're holding the tree. And because you're holding the tree, you're bound up. You don't have to be bound up. You could let go. The monkey, he puts his hand in they have a thing in India called a karai, and it's a clay pot with a small hole on the top. So they put a banana inside. Monkey puts his hand in the karai, gets the banana, and then he can't get his hand out. So he's trapped. But he's not trapped. All he has to do is let go of the banana. But he wants that banana so badly that he can't let go of the banana. So his very desire for happiness, that thing which he envisions as giving him the ultimate happiness, is really what's causing his pain and his suffering. It's really what's causing him to give up that thing which he's trying so hard to find. And that's what we do on a daily basis. And the only way we're going to get around that is if we accept with our highest intelligence, with our determination, with a great determination, accept Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita, accept Krishna's promise, accept that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is different. He's promising something and he's going to do it. He's not going to change. Sometimes we meet the person we think is our life's partner. Sometimes we read on Facebook, I'm so grateful, it's my second anniversary and I met my life's partner, he's the most wonderful person, I'm so happy. So we have that wonderful relationship, but that relationship goes away. And it can help us, it can move us along, but we understand with our transcendental intelligence that comes from hearing from Srila Prabhupada and reading Krishna's words, that in this brief sojourn in our material world, we don't have to be materially miserable. We can make the material arrangements so that we're comfortable and we're peaceful. But we can't expect that we're going to find the total happiness and the total peace that we crave from that situation. And as long as we hang on to that illusion, we're destined to be miserable. We're destined to be unhappy. We're holding on to the banana and thinking, I can't get my hand out. But we can get our hand out. And we have so many opportunities, wonderful opportunities, to associate with devotees, to hear more about Krishna, to read the scriptures so that we know more about this person who's the most beautiful and never gets ugly. Right? When we meet somebody and we think we love them, we love them, we care about them, we think it's going to be like this forever. But it's not going to be like this forever. Right? We're going to get old. And things are going to change. The body's going to change. The relationships are going to change. My needs are going to change. So many things will come into my life and leave my life. So many houses, so many cars, so many gadgets, so many. Even my children, they'll grow up. They're so wonderful. And then they grow up and they go do their thing. And, you know, if they call me every couple of weeks, that's great. And usually it's because they want money or it's their birthday or something, you know. So these things will change. And sometimes we think, well, I'll take this situation. I know it's not perfect, but I'll change it. I'll make it work, right? I'll make it perfect. It'll take me a few weeks, a few months, a few years, and I'll fix it. But then so many things change, and it goes away, and it leaves us again. The only thing that is eternal and never, never lets us down is our relationship with Krishna and the Supreme and his pure devotee and the devotees of Krishna. And as long as we can connect with that, as long as we become determined to connect with that, even though our mind and senses are pulling, then we are engaged in yoga. We are engaged in transcendental activity, bhakti, devotional service. Devotional service means that I'm serving you and you're serving me, or we're serving each other together to achieve this realization, this relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're working together in a united effort. The devotees, the great souls, they come together and they enliven one another and enlighten one another by sharing stories about Krishna, by talking about Krishna, by reminding people about Krishna, and simultaneously reminding them that this material world isn't all that it's cut out to be. The advertisements, they're not true. If you grab that bottle of Coke for happiness, it's not going to work. It's not really where you find happiness. And so we help each other and we gather together and we try to offer that happiness to as many people as we possibly can. Today when Mukhi was telling about book distribution, I was remembering as she was talking about one experience. Akuti and I went to Italy once. And we were supposed to go somewhere, but it didn't work out. We went somewhere else, to a place called Viareggio. And it was on the sea, and we were staying with an older devotee. He was, I don't know, in his 70s. His wife was there, too. And he had been the mayor of this little town. And because it was on the sea, every year the devotees would come and ask him for permission to do Rath Yatra over there. And every year he would say no. And every year, even though he would say no, the devotees would hand him a book as a gift. And those books were very beautiful. They were gilded. They were very pretty, kind of like Jamuna's book. And you know, they're very beautiful. So every year he would take the book. For 7 years, that went on. 7 years he said no. 7 years he got a book. And then he was out of office. So here he was in his office, and he was packing up because he had to leave his office, and he was putting these books into a box. What is this book? So he started to read. Started to read the book. And he started to read the books. And then he became a devotee. And he's initiated by Radhanath Swami now. And this was many years ago. And he translates the Back to Godhead magazine into Italian. That's his seva. So this service, this... And when we see somebody take up Krishna consciousness, that makes us happy, and it makes them happy, and it gives us the peace and happiness to know that everyone has that opportunity to take up Krishna consciousness, and at the same time, we don't have to keep them out of the circle, because there's enough to go around. It's infinite. The happiness and the pleasure that comes from and the peacefulness that comes from engaging in Krishna's service and bringing other people to Krishna or to understand the truth of engaging in devotional service is unlimited. It's unlimited. So we don't have to worry. We don't have to put 5 locks on our door, right? We don't have to worry that someone's going to steal our password and get into our bank account or take our identity away, because our identity can't be taken away. We're servants of Krishna. So we're protected. No viruses, no malware, right? So we're protected because Krishna says, don't worry about anything, I'll protect you. Just surrender to me. Sarva dhammam paricchaja, mame kam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha shami masucha. I promise, I'll protect you. But unfortunately, it's very difficult for us to really believe it. We say we believe it. We really want to believe it. But the reality is, we're not necessarily completely believing it. So the messages that come from the mind and senses will say to us over and over again, try this. It might work. It might work. Go over there, try this. Just this one thing. Just it's on sale. 20% off. Just it's Black Friday and Red Monday and whatever it is. It's all those things, right? Cyber or something or other. What day is Cyber? Cyber Monday. Okay, Cyber Monday, Black Friday, all these different things. And you could try a little harder to enjoy on this day. It's a special day for you to get something that will make you happy. But we need to constantly remind ourselves and be with people who will constantly remind us that, no, that's not what we're looking for. Just take what you need and be happy. Be peaceful. Knowing that your ultimate happiness and peace is coming from your relationship with the Supreme Personality Godhead. Don't settle for anything less. So I'll stop there. It's really dark outside. And it's chilly, so if anybody has any questions, I'll try to answer. Yes?
Sorry, it's not a question, but I actually thought about it. There was a sign outside of a church which said, you were speaking about Krishna taking care. Have faith that Krishna takes care. I may not know the future, but I know in whose hands my future is held.
Nice. Yeah, I may not know the future, but I know in whose hands the future is held. So Krishna is taking care of everything. And Prabhupada is such an example of that, really. He's an amazing example. And actually, I'm reading Jamuna Devi's book, and I'm seeing that she also, in her life, and so many devotees with her, had that conviction that we just have to depend on Krishna. There's turbulence everywhere. Even in the Hare Krishna temple, there's turbulence. But it's okay. Because Krishna is working it out. Krishna is doing it. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how he's doing it. I don't know when he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. And I just have to hold on. I just have to stay on the boat, and Krishna will take care. And that conviction actually gives us the peace that we need, so that when the material world shakes the boat and we're rocking in the boat, still we're comfortable, we're peaceful, because we know that Krishna's got the whole thing under control. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. Oh, yes. Need a mic. Wait. It's coming. It's on its way. There it is.
You mentioned two things at the beginning. One was to have faith. And you also said sometimes you can make an investment and things don't happen the way you predicted, mm-hmm. or you do something else and things go wrong.
That's faith in the wrong thing.
But one can have faith and also not necessarily be inactive, not doing, of being irresponsible. You should be responsible also and do things.
Definitely.
If one has a family and has to...
Yeah, we have to do what we have to do, but Krishna says you have a right to perform your duty, but you don't have a right to be attached to the results. The results are his. He'll give them out. And when we become attached to the results, then we act for the results and we lose clarity. Right? We lose clarity. That we start to think that I'm acting and by my actions I will take care of this feeling I have in my heart that I'm not peaceful and I'm not happy and I'll be able to fix it. But you can't fix it. You have to... Krishna's the only one that can fix it. So you go ahead and you do what you have to do, but if Krishna changes it, does something else, we have to move with that. We have to be willing to accept that and keep our faith in Krishna, that Krishna will take care. And also we have to understand that there's a protection. Krishna protects us by sadachar and the four regulative principles of freedom and so many different instructions of our spiritual master, so that when we follow those instructions, when we live by those guidelines, then even if our mind and senses say, well, if you just reach a little further, but that further reach will take us out of those instructions, we reject that. We reject that. So you see, the devotees are there. They have to work, but they also have to worship Krishna. And so if that work gets beyond the point where I can worship Krishna because I just become a mudha and I'm working, then that's no good. I can't do that anymore. I was reading yesterday with Jamuna about her cookbook success. And and ultimately, after many years of going around and signing books and being famous and winning two awards and giving, classes and lectures and signing so many things, she said, this is getting mundane. It's too materialist. It's taking me away from Krishna. It's disturbing my consciousness. I can't do it anymore. And she just walked away from it. So sometimes we because we have those boundaries, we have those instructions from our spiritual master, we have those instructions from Krishna that set us up with limitations, how far we will go in order to be comfortable in the material world. Because if you don't follow those boundaries, you think, well, I'll just make money for when I have enough money, then I'll serve Krishna. But you never have enough money. The TV is never big enough. It's never big enough. It fits this wall, but then it has to fit this wall, and then then you have to be. Pretty soon, you'll be able to walk into it. It's never fast enough. The computer, it's never fast enough. It's never small enough. So you think, and it's always just out of reach. It's always just out of. There's a really nice story, maybe you've heard of an American Indian tradition of somebody who was promised a plot of land, and he was told that he could walk the boundary of that land from the sunrise to the sunset. And whatever land he could circumnavigate four sides in that period of time would be his. He would get it, that land. So he started to walk. It was a sunny day. It was very hot. And he started to walk. And he thought, well, it's 11 o'clock and I've walked, look at all the land. If I could just walk a little bit more, then I could really get a lot of land. I could have a lot of land. So he started walking further. Then it was 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, the sun was really hot, and he was thinking, okay, but I better start going back. So he made the second turn, and then it was getting 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, uh-oh, the sun. So he started to run. Going out down the third side, the back side. And before he could make it, before the sun set, he saw the sun setting. He knew so he ran really fast, and then he died of a heart attack on the way around. He didn't get anything. He didn't get anything. Because the desire becomes so big that we kill ourselves. We run to death. chasing after a carrot that we never catch. And we know that. Those people out there, they don't know that. They think that somehow they're going to catch it, but they spend their whole life looking for it. And when they get older, they lament over how they didn't get it and think about how, if they did it differently, they would have got it, and that's what happens. Then they get another life and they get to do it again. So we don't want to get into that rat race. Krishna gives us intelligence. Prabhupada gives us intelligence. Get out of this material world. It's dukkhaliyam ashashvatam. Don't believe it. Take it, just what you need within the boundaries. Put your energy in the right place, your emphasis in the right place. Keep your life simple. K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, sadhu. Then your life will be peaceful and happy, which is what you're looking for. You're just looking in the wrong place. Any other question? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Krishna.